This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everyone. Bahumia. I'm your dungeon master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hard One Surefoot.
Emily Axford.
Moonshine Sabin, keeping it cricky.
And Caldwell Tanner.
Beverly Togol, the best boy of Bahumia.
The best boy, yes. And guys, we're going to be joined by Adam Conover for the last two-thirds of the show. But first, we're going to wrap things up here in Moonstone, so let's do a recap.
So last week, you guys fought the barbarians on top of the roof of the Hungry Trout Inn and Tavern and defeated them in the rain.
That's one for the singers. You know?
It was epic. Pawpaw had his big moment. Moonshine.
Oh, Pawpaw was such a good boy.
He was such a good boy. He scampered off. Moonshine told him to go get help. He ran off. He found a druid to help you guys. And with his help and with the help of the bard and Mishka, you guys were able to defeat
not just any druid, by the way.
Yes. His name was Pieter, and he is a centaur.
Pieter. But also, we're forgetting a very important moment from that fight, which is Hardwon going toe-to-toe with Goresh in defense of the watch this catchphrase and defending it and claiming it for his own.
Brothers of the calf, battling it out.
A battle of egos for sure. So yeah, you guys defeated the barbarians. You retrieved the staff. Moonshine returned it to the bay and all was right.
All was okay in the bay.
All was okay in the bay.
Ooh.
But all was not on par at the bar. Does that
that checks out?
That's okay.
That checks out.
Yeah, when you guys went into the bar and you saw that Mishka had been killed, you guys found her amongst a bunch of dead barbarians, so she clearly went down fighting. Beverly was torn up by her death and had his first beer as you guys all shared a solemn drink in this insane murder scene. So that is where you guys find yourself now. You guys are inside the Hungry Trout Inn and Tavern. It is the same night. You guys are just sitting at the bar having a drink while a bunch of druids cast mending spells and clean up the murder scene.
I am buzzed and I'm ready to booty show up at Shay's door.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not sleep well.
I'm buzzed. Like, I don't know how we sleep after we see what happened to Mishka.
Yeah.
I say we go talk to Shay.
Beverly's drunk right now.
I have no spells left to impress her. This is a stupid idea. It's self-destructive. I'm spiraling.
That's kind of behavior that she sparks. She wakes up the worst in us because she's so hot.
So are you guys going to bed or are you going to Shay's right now?
This may be the alcohol talking, but I think we should go talk to that beautiful lady in the grass house.
Okay, y'all, I think we're going to see Shay.
I'm
going
to finish my second beer, and yeah, let's go.
Oh, boy.
Can I do a search for any kind of wagon or anything that I can bring the keg with us to?
Oh, my God. Just to let you know, this is probably going to turn people off to you a lot, because there are druids in there right now that are, like, cleaning up. Mm-hmm. Pieter's kind of trying to be polite and explain
They just saw their friend die. They fought really hard. They're actually really good people.
Okay, we can spin this, though. We can spin this. I'm going to say to Pieter, I know that we are touched by the fermented barley right now, but we need to seek some wisdom. Do you mind if while y'all clean, we show up at a super hot druid woman's house and
you might not want to call her a super hot druid woman, but and also you probably shouldn't bring a keg, but if you wanted to go, I'm sure she would be happy to see you.
You know what? Why don't you take this little red wagon of ale and take it out to the people around town?
Cool. That's just,
I think everyone could use a drink.
I say we should all take a walk me down, which is where you just pour one to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to take a walk me down.
I'm going to bury our dead.
You know what? You take the walk me down.
I puke on his hooves.
Please go.
Beverly doesn't need any more. You don't need any more to drink. We're going to go see.
Please
we'll
go.
See
I won't walk me
please
down.
Please go.
No walk me down
please
for you.
Please go.
Okay.
I take out one of those Mardi Gras yard cups. No, I'm kidding.
You guys walk off to the temple to Melora, and you see Shay is out there with some of the druids and stuff, and you see she's comforting the green teens who are probably concerned for you guys. And as you guys approach, you see Erlin shoots up and sees Beverly and goes, Beverly! And he runs over and he hugs Beverly.
I hug him right back.
are you okay, man?
I could have saved her. Erlin, I could have saved her.
You could have saved who, man?
Mishka. She was this super cool dragon fighting half-orc, and I let her die.
Erlin, he's pretty distraught, and also he drank a little too much Sprite, so just maybe leave him alone for
a
second.
Yeah, he's real carbonated.
He's gassy. Man.
He's busy.
All right, man. You see Erlin backs up, and Shay walks up to you guys, and she says, I heard about Mishka and the others, but...
Shay, I gotta say, on any other day, I probably would hit on you. But
I would ask that you didn't.
Times are grave. I'm not even going to try. Yeah. I'm not even going to try. I came here with no spells. I'm naked. I'm spell naked.
We're just three champion warriors at your door asking you to love them.
I feel like you're hitting on me. Moonshine, you said you weren't going to hit on me, but a hard one, I feel like.
No chance.
Did you bring one for the road? Do you have one for the road?
I didn't. That was...
It's called a walk me down.
Yes, what we brought walk me down.
Really,
but...
the alcohol has so little effect on me. Most of it ends up in the beard.
You see, from inside the temple, Mateo and Scoutmaster Denny walk out.
Denny.
Scoutmaster Denny goes, "Oh, hey, campers of the light, I saw you. Notice you didn't quite run after that bear when he had me, huh?"
I want to kill him. I want to kill him.
Nope, it's okay. Hey, we're good.
I'm reaching for my
axe. Thank you. Nope, we're good. Hey,
I'm
going to go back in the temple.
Actually,
go back in the temple.
I fall to my knees and I say, Melora, why do you take Mishka but you spare Denny? Why, Melora? Why?
You hear from inside the temple, I can hear you.
Good. Shay, we have a whole bunch of weird magic shit. And also, we need to rest. Can we please come
Yes, you're free to rest in the temple. And also, I'd be happy to talk to you about anything. First off, thank you for defending our town. It would have been lost without you.
Laura, I know I said I wasn't going to hit on you. And I'm not. But I am just going to say that...
You don't have to say anything.
I wielded a trident. You should have seen me.
If you weren't so drunk and stumbling over your words, I may have been very impressed. But thank you for... Thank you for throwing it back in the bay. A lesser druid might have taken it for their own.
Your hair smells real nice.
Okay. she turns to hard one. You hit on me, but maybe the least offensively so far. You mentioned something about some magic items. What?
Yeah, so we've got this evil-seeming sword.
Okay.
And can you tell us what this is?
She looks at it. You've got it, wrapped up in some clothes. We said some Wrangler jeans.
These are the Brett Favre deep crotch jeans.
Oh, my.
Deep crotch, high honey.
She unravels it, and she looks at it, and she says, well, I'm not a cleric or a wizard. It would be difficult for me to identify this item, but I can sense a great evil from it, and I'm very glad that you are all smart enough not to wield it, because it very easily could have driven you mad.
I'm going to hang on to it.
While it's partially unsheathed, I kind of look at it.
Don't let him anywhere near this while he's drunk.
Shay.
And also, thank you for saving the other green teens, but please don't let this one drink in the future. He's a boy.
Yeah, no, it was a...
Yeah,
you really
was...
had to be there.
Although I suppose he is... decapitating people and such. You know what? It's fine.
The Scoutmaster said it was fine.
Teeth.
Okay.
Shay,
you need to get this sword to a wizard or to a cleric. We can't really help you with that here in Moonstone.
Okay, we will do. Well, where would they be? There's no wizards or clerics here in Moonstone?
There are some clerics and...
Honestly, we don't got wizards down by the creek.
What do you have down by the creek?
Mud mages.
We got mud golems. We got mud golems. They run around. We make them, and then they start making their own rules and following their own rules. Sorry, Shay. I'm wasting your time.
Yes, you absolutely are.
Mouth of a creek, you know?
On the way up north to Galateron, there's a small city called Ezri, and they do a lot of arcane research there, and there are scientists.
Oh, yeah, my family has a summer house there.
They could identify.
Don't flaunt your wealth so much, Bev.
That item. Was there anything else?
We have this, we've got what seems to be a dragon egg.
You hold that up, and you see her eyes go wide. And she says, where did you get that?
We went to the Sunken Keep. I think it was the house of some madman.
We solved a puzzle.
Yeah.
So I believe
indoor voice thing.
It was the house of some wealthy noble gone mad with power, and this dragon egg was sort of shoved into something that seemed like it was used to hold something else fancy.
So this is the spawn of Shadowfang.
I believe so.
Yeah, no. It's their daughter.
Do you think we should just crack it? And I don't want to say the A word, but abort it.
Well, now I don't want to seem greedy here, but this town was in a strange way protected when Shadowfang was here. We were safe from outside invaders. And Shadowfang was evil and ruled with an iron fist. But if a team of druids could all work together, perhaps we would be able to tame this beast.
If you raised a nice baby dragon.
That's right. Now, chromatic dragons are usually born cruel, selfish, and distrustful. That is their nature. But perhaps, under just the right circumstances, they could be nurtured.
Nature versus nurture.
To use those instincts for good.
I love that, Shay. I really do.
We're all super impressed by you, Shay.
Yeah. Real quick, just great. One downward dog, just so we can check.
If you could, tell you what.
If I do a downward dog right now, will you give me that dragon egg?
If you will just let us rest here and lead us in a morning yoga, we will... We'll happily leave the dragon egg behind.
Hot Pilates, please.
Can we do hot? Yeah, we'd like a night's rest and then a hot Pilates.
Okay, how about just
hot
regular
hotter Pilates?
How about hot breakfast, regular Pilates?
I could be persuaded.
Right. What's in it for us if we give you the egg?
Exactly what she just said.
The Pilates.
The hot Pilates. The
okay, that doesn't seem quite equivalent to, you know.
Yeah, but you know, Moonstone. Well, I'm on the side of Moonstone.
Can we come visit the dragon baby?
You can absolutely come visit
can
the dragon baby.
Can we name it?
But I would also say, young Beverly, you are a green knight and a servant of Pelor. You shouldn't have to get anything in order to give something.
He's very
You're
drunk.
Right.
He is
right.
No,
wasted.
No, she's right. I've acted against Pelor in this moment, and it's almost time for me to take my oath of the ancients. I should be thinking better. I should be acting better. Please... punish me as you will. And I prostrate myself.
Oh, young man.
She just picks you
I
up.
I swear, Shay,
under...
we never do anything. We don't spank him or anything like that. I don't know where this comes from.
I don't believe you, but it's okay. She throws Beverly over her shoulder and says, come into the temple, get a good night's rest, and we'll talk again in the morning.
I try to puke, but there's nothing left.
Wretch.
Beverly... wretches. You guys all go to bed and you wake up and there is a warm breakfast for you and Shay leads you guys in some morning yoga.
Pilates.
Cool.
It is literally morning yoga. M-O-U-R.
So we're all weeping and hungover.
Yeah, we're all
as we do it.
Weeping. You guys are doing this in the back of the temple. This is where some of the people are being buried.
We're wearing black yoga pants.
I would like to create a mushroom garden in Moonstone. Like in like the town square, in honor of those that fell. So it's like a beautiful mushroom garden, like all types of mushrooms.
Beautiful. Go ahead and roll me just like a raw wisdom or like a religion check, whatever you want.
I got a 7.
A 7.
The mushroom garden is fine.
The mushroom garden pops up, and there are just a couple of bulbous, very gross, very poisonous mushrooms representing
those. They might weed those after we leave.
Okay, I hammer in a little sign so it's very clear. I say, Memorial Mushroom Garden, do not eat.
Do not eat.
Yeah, you try to write rest in peas, but you misspell it, and it says peas.
So they do a little ceremony for all of the dead. You find out that Mishka had requested a Viking funeral.
Dope.
So she goes out onto the bay in a little boat pyre. Shay says a few words about Mishka. She refers to Mishka as the town's last homegrown hero.
I do want to, in the light of the morning, I want to go back and maybe, is it cool if I take Rusty's violin?
Sure. You want to take Old Betsy?
Old Betsy.
I think he probably would have been buried with Old Betsy, but
not going to rob Rusty. Rusty can be buried with Old Betsy. That's better. Okay. So I am going to take a gold tooth from
Rusty.
from
I'm going to take Betsy, but you want one of his teeth.
I absolutely take a gold tooth from Goresh.
You get a gold tooth from Goresh. So you guys send Mishka off. You guys bury the bard. They say a few words about the bard. And then after she's talking about the bard, you see Shay turns and all the druids turn. And in a patch of grass behind the temple, there is a single flower growing. And she says, and let us not forget Mother Thistle. Thistle actually died several weeks ago. And you hear a few of the fishermen gasp, but the druids kind of knew what was up. And she says, the druids kept it a secret because we didn't want to show any more weakness while the barbarians were here. And to be honest, I didn't know if you all could handle it, but I think what we've learned here is that we can endure anything. Rest well, Mother Thistle. And it's quiet. And suddenly, you hear Scoutmaster Denny pipe up. Well, if we're honoring people, then I just like to say a few words.
I try to tug on his khakis.
Shay
not well liked in Moonstone.
Shay just says, it's fine. Just let him do it. And Scoutmaster Denny stands in the front. All right, let's hear it for Mother Thistle, eh, gang?
Oh.
Clap it up.
Yep, hip, hip, hooray.
All right.
Hard one doesn't clap.
No, but nobody claps.
I begrudgingly clap.
There's some polite clapping.
I have a very forced smile on.
Smattering of applause.
I'd like to say a few words about the Green Knights. Now, the Green Knights are different than regular paladins. We, like our brothers and sisters in the light, fight for our god, yes. But we also fight for the earth and all its campers.
Yeah.
That is why the animal relations badge is so important. So that we can communicate with animals and see how best we can help our furry pals. Beverly, you've already saved your fellow green teens and gotten me out of a lot of legal trouble. So I'm willing to overlook the fact that you've never earned your cooking badge. You just need to prove that you can commune with animals, and I'll induct you into the Green Knights right here, right now. Are you up to the challenge, Beverly?
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. This is like borderline insensitive. This is a memorial, and Denny just kind of hijacked this.
You hijacked a funeral, man.
Break out the ceremonial gong!
You turned a eulogy into a contest.
He pulls out the gong, and he bangs it. No. The jamboree is back on, everyone!
Kalu-kalay, y'all.
Where death is laid foul, so too may flowers grow. That is why we celebrate in these mournful days.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Circle of life.
I just don't like that Denny leads anything.
Yeah, me too.
Did we rested, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I got my spell slots back?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to use talk to animals.
Cool. There's a few deer around, some birds, and
there's also Bojangles.
There's also Pawpaw.
Shit. Yeah, it's got to be Pawpaw. I cast Speak with Animals, and I turn to Pawpaw, and I say, hi.
I think he's talking to me. Hey.
Papa, it's me, Beverly. How's it going?
So Beverly kind of takes center stage, looks right at Papa. His eyes glow green. And Papa, not used to this, not used to being able to understand what people are saying, Papa turns his head at you and goes, I'm doing pretty good down out here. How you doing?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. You're very energetic. Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you for all your help for finding Pieter and for just assisting us in all the ways. You're
a horseman. I like the horseman. Yeah.
You're just like five Jonas, huh?
Scoutmaster Denny says,
well, I wasn't in on that conversation, but it sounds right to me. Congratulations, Beverly.
All right. Everyone cheers. Scoutmaster Denny starts bowing.
Yeah.
You don't bow. You don't bow.
I take out New Betsy, and I start playing a fiddle in honor.
You start playing a fiddle song. The jamboreen starts. They hit the ceremonial gong.
Oh, shit, the jamboreen.
The jamboreen's on. They start cooking the Feast of Pelor. Everyone starts to get...
I want to twirl in a circle with Erlen.
Yeah, there's...
Tossing him up and catching him.
I do want to help with the feast to prove that even though I didn't get my cooking badge, I'm up to the challenge.
Oh, come back into the kitchen with me.
Yeah, we're back in the kitchen.
I got every burner going.
Moonshine and Beverly go back. They make a jambalaya for everyone.
We got jambalaya. We got gumbo. We got paella. We got chowder.
Everyone is in the freshly cleaned Hungry Trout Inn celebrating. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's having fun. It's the Feast of Pelor.
Hard one is river dancing.
Having a fantastic time river dancing.
Moonshine is talking. Shay's in the kitchen, and Moonshine's like feeding her little spoons, being like, "How's that taste? Is that good?
It's actually,
nice
for being bullywug legs. It's actually pretty good.
That's good, right?"
You see, after the feast, Denny wheels out green scale mail, and for our new junior green knight, I would like to award Beverly Tolgold with getting to see his scoutmaster wear a brand new set of armor. And he goes and he starts putting it on.
I hip check Denny.
Just kidding, y'all. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'll present the kid with the armor. Okay, all right. No, you are a craven piece of shit.
Okay.
Beverly, as your co-scoutmaster, Moonshine, want to come out here?
Okay. Oh, yep. Yeah. Oh, I'm wiping my saucy hands off my apron.
Let's present the kid with his brand new...
Oh my gosh. You have to say the Green Knight's plight.
Okay.
I'm going to rip the scroll from his hand.
All right. So I give you guys, he gives you guys pieces of paper. Here you guys go. This is the Green Knight's plight. If you guys could all read it in unison to induct Beverly into the Green Knights.
One, two, three.
The Green Knights fight with all their might. And through no slight, we make things right. But should the night's blight dim our sight, we'll smile that fright with a light so bright.
Kaloo Kalay!
Kaloo Kalay, y'all! Kaloo Kalay!
Everyone cheers. You now have scale mail. Your AC goes up by one.
Oh, shit!
Oh, shit, your AC's 19.
It's 19, baby. It's beautiful.
Badass.
I think in a private moment, I do pick up the amulet of Pelor. And I make a solemn promise to Pelor in this moment as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You feel Pelor's light shine on you in the sun.
I'm
the
just
sun
going
hits
around.
You just right.
I'm just going around making sure everyone got fed. I'm going around to any skinny people being like, you should eat a little more. Take a little more.
I'm eating a lot because I'm definitely still hungover.
The feast wraps up. It becomes night. They make a big bonfire, and everyone's sitting around the bonfire. Denny's trying to tell stories, but Shay kind of shuts him up and pushes him to the side.
I pen a quick, I don't pen it. I dictate a quick note. Pawpaw pens it to Denny, kindly requesting that he retire from any job that involves him influencing children.
I'll sign it.
You guys sign
co-signed
it.
Co-signed by Hardwood.
You guys pass it around. All of the fishermen sign it and everything. And Denny looks at it and he goes, yep, well, pretty much unanimous, huh? Maybe I'll just stick around here and be a tour guide.
Yes, that would be, well...
You really should, as long as all of the people you give tours to aren't teens.
How about there needs to be another adult present?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah. I like that.
Wow, that sounds bad, huh?
Yeah, your tour sounds destined to fail, but
okay.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, boy.
Scoutmaster Denny, before you are banned from the Green Teens forever, I need to know, what should my next move be? What do I need to do to become a full-fledged Green Knight?
Beverly... I gotta be honest, kid. You're better at this than I am. I don't know.
So you're saying I should follow my own heart?
Oh, actually, I was supposed to give this to you. It's a note from your dad. I was supposed to give it to you when you graduated.
Oh, shoot. Oh, my gosh.
Ah, yeah, this is his sigil for sure. I carefully unpeel the wax sigil, preserving it so that I can add it to my collection, and I read it out loud.
Open it up with a tooth.
Beverly, congratulations. You've done an adequate job. Okay. Now hurry home to Galateron. The king is naming a new High Septon in 2 weeks. Your mother would be disappointed if you weren't there. That sounds like mother. Regards, Father. Oh, geez, I gotta get back to Galateron.
You got some cold upbringing.
No, hey, this is pretty warm.
At least your parents
were
alive. That's cool.
Yeah, that's
true. You know what? Count your blessings.
Yeah, on a spectrum, that's pretty good.
Let's get this tiny knight to Galateron. And we can pass through Ezri on the way
and
ask about that sword.
Yes,
okay, cool.
We'll spend the night in Ezri.
Would you guys, as my scoutmasters, accompany me back home?
Yes, I feel very invested in getting you and these other little liabilities home.
As strange as you are my only two friends. I have nowhere else to go.
Wait, you don't have friends back at the mountain?
I have.
Did something happen at the mountain? What are you running from?
I really outgrew the mountain. Oh. I have an ex, but it's a whole thing.
Oh.
It's a whole thing.
So you left because of a girl?
It's not. Yeah. I had a tough breakup.
I guess that's the thing. That is.
I had a really bad breakup.
Wow. Usually adventurers have a way bigger, way more exciting backstory,
so
but
Shay,
just left because of a girl.
Shay approaches you guys as you guys are talking, and she says, would you guys like to be here when we hatch the egg? Assuming you're okay with Moonstone keeping the egg.
Oh,
you guys could definitely keep the egg.
Yeah, you guys can. As long as we can come back and sort of be like fun aunts and uncles that show up every once in a while and bring it toys.
And we do get to name it.
You do get to name it.
Yes.
I was going to suggest that.
I think we should name it.
Moonshine, I was actually hoping that you would be able to help us.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because we're going to have to wrangle this thing. It's going to be nuts.
Oh, I know something.
This is
going to
be crazy.
Wrangling.
Yeah. We will all need to wrangle.
If you need to help wrangling, you came to the right chick.
So Moonshine and the other druids, you guys see Pieter and Mateo.
Petrie.
Mateo stands there.
Petrie and Matt.
Shay.
Petrie and Matt.
Shay kind of moves Mateo to be like more towards the back. He might not be as good of a druid as he was being.
I just want to help this dragon.
So please stand back. Please stand back. Let P.A. turn.
I knew he was bad.
His pecs just don't glisten. You see that?
Yeah, she makes room so that Mateo can stand back and Moonshine can kind of fill in his place, and all of the druids stand around this fire. Hard One, would you like to place the egg into the fire?
Sure. I toss my beard over my shoulder so it doesn't catch.
Good.
I'm going to walk to the fire, place the egg gingerly on top.
Place egg gingerly on top, badly burning yourself for how close you get to the fire.
That's fine.
Just
worth it.
Just real hot. You guys see the egg moves fitfully and vibrates until finally this little black dragon hatchling bursts from the shell with a loud screech. It takes flight with awkward, unsure wings, and it dips into like attack the crowd, when suddenly you see all of the druids' eyes turn green and you see the dragon stop as if being held in place by like an invisible hand. It turns to Shay, her eyes glowing green with power, and she holds her hands up to it, inviting it. They're in an intense stare down as she and all of the druids focus all of their energy onto it. The dragon hatchling flutters and screeches with fury in her face. Her forehead is tense with veins bulging. You see the other druids are also tense. Moonshine, why don't you go ahead and give me like a spell attack?
Oh.
As you're helping with this.
I got a nat one.
Roll with advantage.
Roll with advantage. Roll with advantage.
Again.
Holy shit. Did you just roll two ones in a row?
Oh.
That is insane.
Oh, no.
This dragon turns to Moonshine and lets out an acid breath attack. Give me a dexterity saving throw.
Whoa.
What? What?
No way. What? Did you just roll a third one?
Oh.
That's a good. Go back to the gift dice.
Go back,
go
to,
back
the purple
to the
dice.
Gift dice.
Immediately.
This is absolutely insane. I thought this was just flavor, but this thing is gonna fuck you up. Okay, you and Mateo get hit with
for 13 damage.
Okay.
Ah! Get hit with 13 damage. Beverly and Hard One, you guys need to get involved. What do you guys do to help?
Is it close enough that I could jump up and try to grab it?
Yeah, you can try to grab it. Give me an athletics check.
That is a 16.
Okay. What did you get?
That's a 16 plus animal handling, which is 3, so 19.
Dope.
So
I go up, grab his legs, and try to, me and Beverly.
Okay.
And
it's
try
okay.
To,
it's okay.
Okay, yeah. So he only rolled a 7 on his athletics, so this dragon just breathed this crazy acid breath down onto Moonshine, who rolled 3 ones in a row. Jesus. Insane! This was supposed to be a cutscene, but some things just can't be helped. She's being attacked. Hard One and Beverly tackle the dragon as Beverly starts to pet it.
It's okay.
Moonshine, you're able to regather yourself.
Death, I'm coming for you.
You focus your energy. All of the druids focus their energy. And finally, the dragon calms down to the point that it just is just like nipping people instead of trying to kill them. He's just exploratory nipping, just like biting at people.
That's regular old Pawpaw style.
You
see Pawpaw runs up and starts biting at the dragon. They start biting at each other. Aww. They start wrestling. And Shay turns to you guys and says, "Well, that was insane."
Shay, that kind of shit happens to us all the time.
I try and blame it on Mateo. I'm like, I'm telling you, Mateo was off script back there. That's why.
You know what? He doesn't read. Isn't that insane?
Imagine not being able to read.
He can read. He just chooses not to.
I can read. I just don't like to.
Yeah, animals. That was all Mateo. I was just in the line of sight.
What would you like to name the dragon?
Pawpaw.
Pawpaw 2.
Pawpaw 2.
So we're not going to honor the dead Mishka.
Oh. I think.
You know what? I think we're going to name it Old Beverly.
That's all it do.
Old Beverly.
Old Beverly, I like that.
What about Mishka Beverly Pawpaw
II?
Oh, wait,
no.
Mishka Beverly Pawpaw II. I think that's a great name.
Mishka Beverly Pawpaw II.
It's perfect.
There wasn't a first.
We've got too many people to honor.
The second of his name.
Somehow. It's the second Beverly. Well, technically the third Beverly.
Okay. Sorry, repeat the name again.
Mishka Beverly Pawpaw II.
All right, everyone. The dragon's name is Mishka Pawpaw Beverly II.
You kind of
regret letting us name the dragon. Huh?
You know what? We might just change the name after you guys leave.
I just hope on our travels that we can find a keychain that says Mishka Beverly Pawpaw II on it.
We'll bring
it
back as a gift.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sure you need to be on your way, but we'll miss you. Be sure to come back to Moonstone.
Hey, can somebody heal our girl real quick?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, since Mateo's shit got me.
Pieter says, "You can call me Petrie if you would like." And he cure wounds
you. I'm sorry.
You.
Is there a difference between what you say and I say? Because I could swear I'm saying
he heals you back up to full. You're good.
Oh, great. Thank you, Petrie.
Cool.
Now, can we ride out of here on Bojangles?
On Bojangles.
You gave us a dragon. You can have Bojangles. And you hear a few fishermen go, "Aww."
We'll send him back, boys. He's the mayor.
He's going to run for president.
We'll give you Bojangles and a couple other horses. You've more than earned that.
Hell
Thank
yeah.
Thank you so much.
So you guys take your horses.
Yep.
And you ride off. Guys, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to be joined by Adam Conover.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got our first guest, Adam Conover.
Oh my gosh, hello.
Hello, wow. Adam.
Woo! I'm so excited to be here. True story about me. Can I just open with this?
Please.
Yeah. True story about me. As a teenager, I owned hundreds of dollars worth of RPG books. I bought like D&D and like the White Wolf games and everything. I bought all the books. I had no friends, so I never played.
That is fucking tragic.
I would buy RPG games, never played a game of D&D until I was like in my late 20s, and it still it allows me to live out the childhood I never had. So I'm very excited to be here.
Aww.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you.
The Dungeoneer's Dilemma, as they call it.
Look, it's really hard to put together a game if none of the other kids like you. They don't want to spend 6 hours at your house.
Especially when you were a kid, that was probably like 3.5 or like, was it Advanced Dungeons and Dragons?
It was second edition.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was second edition.
Oh my God.
That's crunchy.
I just had a lot of fun reading the books and looking at the pretty pictures.
Yeah. That would be a tough sell for good friends.
Yes.
Second edition. That's a tough sell.
It was a lot.
Cool. So we're going to meet, nobody knows what Adam's character is except for me and Adam.
Whoa.
Our little secret. So you guys have not met Adam's character yet, but you guys are on your way up to Galateron to go visit Bev's family.
Ezri.
Passing through Ezri. This
Born
town.
On the noble back of Bojangles.
The mare horse.
Yeah, the mare horse.
He's a mare and a mare.
Who's riding Bojangles? Which one of them?
Oh, yeah. Who gets Bojangles?
Bojangles, I've wild shaped into a horse and Bojangles is riding me.
That's how Bojangles
this is
travels.
Insane.
And I'm riding on Emily, who's riding on Bojangles. Or wait, no.
Moonshine?
Sorry.
Yeah, who?
Entirely
I don't
stupid.
Know these Emily people.
Cool. Guys, let's meet Adam, huh?
Yeah.
So, so you guys also leveled up. You guys leveled up at the end of Moonstone, so you guys are all level 4 as you arrive. So let me give you guys a little bit of background on Ezri. So Ezri is a small city and a hub for arcane research and experimentation. During the war against Asmodeus, a scientist from the city of Ezri named Professor Duddle developed a way to produce synthetic Eldritch Knights by injecting soldiers with the blood of wild magic sorcerers, giving normal fighters access to innate arcane abilities.
Seems... Yo, this is some sci-fi shit.
Yeah, that seems normal and good.
Unfortunately, once word got out that they were producing super soldiers, Ezri quickly became a popular target of the Dark Army. But with the help of Alanis, the legendary elf wizard, Ezri's scientists developed a force field bubble to protect the city center and their research. The city continued to produce synthetic Eldritch Knights that proved integral in the war against Asmodeus. But now, the city is in a crisis. While many of the synthetic Eldritch Knights were killed in battle, the ones who weren't slowly saw their powers fade away and became ill. A drug form of the synthetic wild magic was developed to treat those addicts with smaller dosages, but this quickly led to abuse and even more dangerous street versions of the drug. Now, paranoid wild magic users roam outer Ezri, and an ambitious drug dealer is its unofficial ruler. Meanwhile, those lucky enough to live within the arcane bubble are either blissfully ignorant to the outside danger or racing to find a solution.
This is classic coming, like that coming home disorder. You know, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
Because
they were, they have PTSD, and now they're going to come home and become alcoholics and drug addicts. Mm-hmm. And the city is run by a drug lord?
the like outer edge of the city. It's kind of like mob rule, basically.
So we got a, this is a dome city, is what you're saying.
Rich people in this town literally live in a bubble.
Hell yeah.
Y'all,
the
Moonshine,
metaphor is not subtle.
Moonshine is of the people. She isn't going to that bubble. She's going to go on the outskirts. And talk to people and whip up a pot of jambalaya for them peasants.
Cool. That might be tough to do. Let's get into it. So you guys, as you approach...
I'll definitely get attacked the second I take out my slotted spoon.
Also, you guys are going to Ezri to like meet with the magic scientist so you guys can find out what's
we
up
have,
with the sword.
We do have the, we have the
So anyway, as you guys approach the outskirts of the city, you can already see the city center in the distance. There are four high-rising arches that surround it. The buildings inside the center itself are blurred by the effects of the arcane force field. This is the bubble. In the outer circle, where you guys are right now, there are no big buildings, just small homes and businesses, many of them derelict or boarded up, either because they're abandoned or because the people inside don't want anyone to get in. The city does not have a lot of foot traffic, but you do see a few groups of ruffians hanging out, a shambling madman yelling at no one in particular, and a few regular people head down going about their business. So you guys get to the city gates, and you see two guards in, like, beat-up breastplates, and they're just talking to each other. They're paying you guys no mind as you approach on your horses.
Yeah.
In the distance, you hear explosions and yelling, and the guards don't react. They just keep talking to each other.
Y'all, I hate to say it, but something's shitty in this city.
Nice!
Wow, so crude yet so poetic.
Yeah, it's Mezzi and Ezri.
Can I ask these guards what's going on and why aren't you guys concerned?
What are you? Hey,
there was an explosion. Hey.
Yeah, no, there's explosions all the time. Yeah, there's fucking madmen. I don't know, man. Do you want to fight them? I don't want to fight them.
We're travelers. We're not quite familiar with the multitude of explosions going on in your fair city. Could you let us know why are there explosions?
Yeah, why? First question. Aren't you doing anything about it?
You see, they take one look at you, Beverly. This gold-toed boy.
Yes.
And they say,
"That's not a manicure."
You look like a bubble boy, all right? Why don't you put your head down and just make
your way
bubble?
Do you have any idea how many people we've killed in the last 3 days?
And how savagely we've done it? I'm telling you what, we ain't exactly putting our hands over people's mouths and giving them a peaceful death.
All right. Well, since you threatened me, in a way, look, all right, you hear more explosions and yelling, and he goes, "Oh, there's this drug. It's called Arcane. There's street versions of it that are super dangerous. The people who get the bad stuff, you know, they turn into crazy wild magic sorcerers, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada,
they're
yada.
Out there blowing stuff up. There's some guy getting wrangled right now or something. I don't know. He's shooting fire or whatever. What is he shooting, Ray?" And you see the other guy looks out and goes, "Looks like some kind of fireball."
Okay.
So this is just running rampant in your city.
So this is... Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
What are you even doing at the gate?
You know, technically, we're doing a job, but we only get paid, like, 5 silver a day, so...
Do you want to, like, check our passports or something?
Can I send Pawpaw to go scurry up the wall and then report back to me what he sees over the wall?
Pawpaw scurries up a building, and Pawpaw scurries back. Are you going to cast Speak with Animals?
No.
Pawpaw just goes...
Pawpaw, act it out. Use your charades. Use your charades.
You see, he pretends to be a big buff guy. He's walking around. He's walking around making a serious face.
Y'all, there is some beefcake on the other side of this wall.
Murph, did we rest during our journey, or was this a one-day thing?
No, you guys were on the road for a couple days.
Okay, so we're back at full health. We got our slots.
Oh, yeah, you got all your
slots.
You got your slots.
I have one additional question for you, the DM.
Yes.
Is Arcane spelled a dumb way?
Oh, yeah, dude. You know it is. R period space Kane, capitalized C.
Fuck yeah. Because it is cocaine. It's magic. It's arcane. Arcane.
This is Adam's character.
The drug dealer.
Adam's the bad guy.
You guys want some arcane?
I want to ask, I talked to the guards one more time.
Okay.
Ray, was it?
You see, Ray turns around. He was the other guy. Yeah, what?
Hi, Beverly Togold the Fifth. Very nice to meet you.
Cool. All right, what's up, Bubble Boy?
that's a hurtful nickname. I was wondering, we have an item here, and we're just trying to get it appraised. We're wondering who we might want to talk to about that.
Yeah, no, it's just something we picked up at a flea market of no import whatsoever.
Oh, that sword.
What sword? No.
Did Beverly show him the sword?
No.
It's in a cloak.
Yeah, it's in a cloak.
What do you got? What do you got there?
It's a cloak, dude. Why do you care? Just tell us.
I don't give a shit about a cloak.
All right.
We got a cool coin. I got a cool coin. I want to know if it.
No. I hold up the.
I don't know where it's from.
Murph, I hold up the amulet of Pelor.
He looks at it. It is made of platinum, and he goes, "Oh, well, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take a look at that."
No.
I would feel more comfortable if I could hold on to it. We're just more wondering if
you know
anyone.
I think we're just going to walk past you.
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
All right. I tip my hat to you, but I don't think you tip it back.
Fuck you.
That's kind of what I was saying. But
he gives you guys the finger.
Have a nice day.
I cast my chill touch in the middle finger.
You give him the middle finger. Ray flips you off as well.
They don't even notice the horse riding a horse.
Yeah.
They really should be impressed.
Cool city so far.
Okay, let's go in. I think we should prepare for the worst and I guess go in.
You walk into the city. You see an imposing figure in a hooded cloak, and he's being attacked by a madman, possessed with wild magic, whipping bolts of fire. The figure dodges the magic deftly, reaches the man, bashes him with the butt of his weapon. It looks like a big staff, like a lance. The sounds of explosions and arcane energy suddenly stop, and the madman is knocked out, falling to the ground. The imposing figure picks him up, slings him over his shoulder, starts walking towards the city center.
What? Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Hey!
He's
Adam.
Sir.
Oh. Do you hear some people yelling behind you?
Oh, I keep walking.
Oh shit!
Oh.
Yeah. This dude just keeps walking.
Yeah.
Sir, we're excuse me. I'm just a kindly crick woman looking for some hospitality outside the crick. Sir, might I find it in your bosom?
I turn and look at them, but I don't. I was like, who the hell are these people?
You guys see this big, imposing orc?
Oh shit!
Yeah.
This badass.
I'm an orc, baby.
Oh,
he's wearing like black plate. He kind of looks like Batman mixed with Donatello.
That's very good.
Oh, that's dope.
Sir, are you some kind of bounty hunter?
Yes, I am.
Or sort of like a rogue police officer?
I am a bounty hunter. Why do you inquire?
Well, honestly, we're looking for safe passage into the heart of this city, and it seems like the climate here is a bit complicated.
I would like to approach the orc, and I hold up my signet ring and say, like, hello there, my name's Beverly, and I'm a bubble boy, and I am, I've got business in the center of the city, and you seem like you know your way around. Could you help me and my friends, my two scoutmasters here, find our way in? There's going to be a green teen potluck in the center of the city, and we are a little bit late.
I don't even know if Beverly thinks he's lying.
I'm just going to sidle up behind Beverly. hey, man, look, we got this evil sword that we need to take.
I kind of instinctively trust you.
I think that these are some unhinged vagrants because they've all come up and said different things I've never heard of before. One's chatting about an evil sword.
How about this? I know what'll make you more comfortable. Do you like to imbibe?
Depending on the year of the vintage, yes.
Well, have you ever tried a nice vintage crick water? It's caffeinated and alcoholic.
It's sort of like Four Loko.
My interest is peaked. Okay.
I take out a little flask, and I'm like, you don't drink it. You just kind of huff it.
I sniff it. What does it smell like? What does it actually smell like?
You're already a little drunk.
just from smelling it. I'm very impressed.
So you see, we're the real deal.
Do you make this substance? What do you?
Well, I got a bunch of flasks in my satchel, but I also, like, if I sweat too much, it's crick water still, even though I've been gone from the crick for a while, so.
You don't want to ask any more questions about it.
If you provide me with a dozen flagons of this, of this fine potion, I will bring you across the border and nothing more.
You got it. A moonshine rifles through her satchel, pulling out just dirty clothing, just leaving it on the...
Bringing it into a flask.
Oh, God. I'm revolted.
Dope. So she does this for a good hour and a half as everyone just sits there and waits.
Then I produce.
I'm sitting holding
the guy
over
the guy, the guy wakes up. You butt him again. He goes back down.
I guess while she's pulling out the flask, I go up to the orc and say, what is your name? Fair traveler.
Nice to meet you. My name is Stunkbug.
Your first name is Stunkbug, or my your
only,
full name?
My only name is Stunkbug.
May I call
you? It is a bit of an embarrassment, but is the name my mother gave me. Sir.
I see.
May I call you Senior Stunk?
I ask that you please do that.
It's
she
very...
often doesn't listen.
It's very nice to meet you, Mr. Bug.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. I snort slightly, but I'm like, that's okay. You can call me Mr. Bug.
Could you please lead us into the city? Time is of the essence. I've got to meet my parents soon.
Okay, just you don't embarrass me. Let's go.
Wouldn't dream of it. I'll be on my best behavior.
So you guys start walking. As you guys approach this arcane bubble, you see that the inside of the bubble is still just as blurry as when you were far away. And when you touch it, it's hard as a rock. But you see, Stinkbug, was it?
Stunkbug.
Stunkbug.
God damn it.
Stunkbug!
This is what happens when you don't run names by me before we start.
Stunkbug is a great name.
His name is goddamn Stunkbug, and there's nothing I can do about it.
A.K.A. Senior Stunk.
No, please do not call me Senior Stunk.
Mr. Bug is okay. Stunkbug is okay. Yeah. But
Senior
Stunk,
you gotta draw the line somewhere.
So you see he's got this big blue gauntlet, holds up his hand, clenches his fist, turns blue with arcane energy.
Mm.
And you guys are able to put your hands on him, and he takes you guys into the bubble.
Is it like a transport? Is it like a teleportation feel?
It feels just like walking through an open doorway. So you guys see that immediately that inside the bubble is a whole different world. The buildings are beautiful, elven and gnomish architecture, all delicate, quirky, and magical. The streets are spotless. You actually see, as soon as you guys walk in, an enchanted broom starts cleaning the path behind you guys.
Oh, wow. Lord.
Oh, a Broomba. We have one of those in my house.
These greedy fucking nobles.
I know you say that, but then you're also like, I could get used to this.
Don't forget where you came from.
So how long have you worked for the inner dome?
How long have
you've been in there inside the dome for about a year now.
Okay, yeah.
Murph, I imagine I'd be pretty familiar with like Ezri. I've probably been here before. Yeah. I think I did mention that my parents have a townhouse here.
Yes, you did.
Summer house.
Summer house, yeah.
Oh, a rich kid. Okay, you are a bubble boy.
I'm a bubble boy. I don't like that nickname because when I was a little kid in kindergarten, I was blowing bubbles and some mean bullies made me drink the entire bottle of bubbles. So it has bad connotations for me, but...
Yeah, and yet you embraced it real quick.
Well, you know, it's helping us get inside, so we're all swallowing our pride a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to live inside. I used to live outside, but now I live inside, and it's much nicer in here.
Oh,
it
my. Seems a lot better. Well, made the transition.
Yeah. So congratulations to you on your upward progress.
Thank you.
We're looking to find an appraiser of sorts. We've got a few items that we want to get checked out. It's just some... run-of-the-mill family heirlooms of mine.
Okay, well, if these are magical items, I have great fonts of arcane knowledge, and so I could perhaps help you out.
Oh, so you might. Perhaps we should get, like, a nice seat somewhere so we're not doing this in the middle of the street.
Yeah, can we go back to your place?
why don't I take you to neutral territory, like, you know, a public place where I'm not going to take you to my...
I was a little forward.
We've known each other for 10 minutes, sir.
I blow it like this all the time.
Not ready to invite you into my home.
So, you have this guy.
Usually you bring your wild magic addicts to the police barracks, then the police captain delivers them to the city rehab herself.
Okay.
So you have that. You also, the other places in town that you would kind of know of, you know of this place called the Blue Mana Inn and Tavern, which is kind of this fancy tavern that has a like air elemental that makes drinks, so it looks like all the drinks are floating and stuff, and it's magic.
Cool.
It's very posh. And then you also have, you know, of Professor Duddle, who has his laboratory and such.
I cannot wait to hear Professor Duddle's voice.
Well, look, I have to drop this fine fellow off at the police barracks. If you want to meet me later at Professor Duddle's, I will introduce you, and you know he can handle whatever things you need done. In the meantime, if you need some place to chill out, I suggest the Blue Mana. You must try the drinks.
Ooh.
It is incredible.
Oh, okay.
This place. The air elemental bartender will blow your mind. I'm not kidding.
Do they
you
do
gotta
tapas?
Check it out. What'd you say?
Do they do tapas?
Small so many
plates.
Tapas.
Small shared plates.
Nothing but tapas. The cook would rather kill himself than serve a large plate. You will get so full on apps. Don't even ask. Don't even a brunch there. My God.
Thank you so much.
Thank
we
you.
Will definitely be en route to Blue Manna.
I call tapas regular food.
Oh my.
Come on.
God damn it.
Bubble appetite.
God damn it.
Because I'm small.
Yes.
This halfling is a cut up.
You know what? I don't want Bev drinking and getting
True.
Fucked up anymore.
Fair.
I will volunteer to go with Mr. Bug just so that we don't totally lose track of him.
Okay, sweet. You go
I
with
don't
them.
Agree to let you follow me, but I can't stop you either.
I'm very interested in the law enforcement procedures here. Do you mind if I come with you?
You know, it's a free country.
It's like kicking a dog saying no to Beverly.
It's actually not. It's a monarchy, so that's not technically true, but I'll still come with you.
Scouts.
Yeah, I need a break from that kid. I'm gonna go to the Blue Manna.
This is why you don't have kids.
Yeah, I'll go to the Blue Manna too.
Okay.
I'm gonna send Pawpaw with Beverly though.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, Pawpaw can come back and alert us if
you see a rabid little possum crawl up onto Beverly's shoulders.
Oh, that's what Pawpaw
that's
is?
That's what Pawpaw
oh.
is.
Emily, do you want to give me like a little mushroom?
Yeah, I'm gonna put my hand on you, or I'm gonna tussle your hair, and you don't know it, but I'm leaving some spores
okay.
in there
oh,
so
gross.
That I can get a sense on you.
Huh. So to you right now, Stunk Bug, it just looks like this little boy has so much dandruff, and,
seems
and
pretty
he
part.
Has a little possum.
Yeah, I use a dry shampoo; it doesn't always work.
But he still cleans himself way more than moonshine does.
Yes.
What are you talking about? I'm taking a bath right now.
Yeah, you do think puddles are baths.
Moonshine's just taking a bath in public. You're just pouring crick water
oh,
on yourself.
Okay, let's just go. Okay, I'm going to the barracks.
Great.
I am going. I am walking. You do what you want.
Stunk Bug. God damn it. Stunk Bug and Beverly take off to the barracks. Moonshine and Hard One go to the Blue Manna Inn and Tavern. We'll start with Stunk Bug and Beverly.
Hooray!
Stunk Bug and Beverly. You guys here get to go. The barracks. You see it looks like a small, heavily militarized castle. It's shaped like a square, and there are four tower structures at each corner. Around the barracks are what are called Bubble Knights. They're essentially the city watch whose jurisdiction is within the bubble. They wear this beautiful dark blue plate armor, and they've got this charismatic, magical glow. And
are they human? Or are they like...
They're all different kinds of races.
But they're people. They're not like constructs.
Right. They're okay. not constructs.
Are they are encased in bubbles or anything, or just called Bubble Knights?
They're just called Bubble Knights because they work in the bubble.
Gotcha. Okay, got it.
Bubble Knights. Yeah. Bubble Knights. They have to have a theme song.
Yeah. Do they have big butts?
Yeah, some of them. Sure.
Bubble Knight is my favorite Neo
Geo
game.
Let me roll for how many out of 20 have big butts. That's a one. Only one.
No, the song's just about
one
him.
One with a perfect, nice ass.
Bubble
just
knight.
A gnome
bubble,
with
bubble,
a
bubble,
huge
bubble,
butt.
I wink at him.
He pretends not to see you. So you guys walk into this barracks. You've got this dude over your shoulder. You plop him down to the desk sergeant, and he goes, another one, Stunk Bug. All right.
Yep.
He yells to guards around. He says, all right, let's put the suppressors on for now. Captain Oswald will want to take this guy over later. And as the desk sergeant's dealing with you, you see Lieutenant Bricker, who is this dwarf woman with a full mustache. She's this this by-the-books cop who you have like a rivalry with because you're a bounty hunter.
Hello, Bricker.
Stunk Bug. Renegade, bring in more of your trash in here. Is that right?
The same speech every time, Bricker. I'm just trying to do my job as a bounty hunter for the Bubble City.
I don't like the cut of your jib, Stunk Bug. You know, there's a reason there's a rule book, okay? You can't just throw it out.
Oh, I like her.
You know, I'm just as God made me, ma'am.
All right.
I can't change my ways.
Hi, I'm Beverly.
shut up.
Do you mind if I interview you? I'm trying to get my law enforcement patch.
God damn it.
Now here's a kid who's got his head on straight, right?
All right, Will. Captain Oswald wants to talk to you, Stunk Bug. I'll talk to this kid.
Okay, I pull out a pad, and I guess it would be like a stylus of some sort, and I start taking notes.
Good. Cool. You two seem made for each other, okay. So I hope you have a nice time.
Lieutenant Bricker talks to you about how important the rules are.
I agree.
It talks about how bounty hunters are renegades, and you can't trust them.
Oh, paladins.
Trust is a powerful tool.
Stunkbug, you go back into Captain Oswald's office. It's got this oak desk covered in papers and scrolls. There are candles magically hovering in the corners of the room, giving it a soft glow. Captain Oswald is this tall elven woman with bright yellow hair, gleaming with magical energy. She wears the same dark blue armor as the other Bubble Knights.
You see, as soon as you walk in, she closes the door behind you, and you guys are in this room by yourselves. And she says...
Oh, the sexual tension is cracking already. Oh, man.
Yeah,
could happen in here.
Some of the candles start crackling a little harder, possibly feeding off the arcane sexual energy.
They're just an attraction. It's never been spoken. They're just an attraction.
You haven't had sex until you've had magic sex. It's different.
So she turns to you and she says, I've got to lead on our guy. There's an underground fight ring happening in the basement of the Bone and Barrel. You know the Bone and Barrel as being this like sort of roughneck bar that's in the outer rim of the city, kind of like the Mos Eisley Cantina. And she says, apparently one of the brawlers tonight is one of Scullis's guys, so there's a good chance he'll be there.
All right, then I'll be there too.
All right, just be careful.
Well, I can't hold myself responsible for what I do when I see Scullis, considering what he did to my brother.
Ooh. I understand, Stunkbug. But you're not going to be able to get your revenge if you just start a fight with him out in the open in a bar.
I know.
That bar is crawling with his men. Make sure if you do anything, there's not too many people around.
Okay.
I knock on the door and say, do you know where the bathroom is?
Why don't you... get going.
Okay, I don't know who that is. Okay. Who's, are you
Mr.
letting...
Mr. Bug, it's me, Beverly.
Is it bring your halfling to work day? Like, I don't know who this kid is.
Anyway, as always, this conversation never happened.
Of course, thank you.
Okay, thank you, I didn't hear it.
I linger and try to get her gaze for an extra moment.
Okay. You see, she kind of looks at you, considers it for a second, and then looks away. You should go.
I'll see you. I can't think of anything cool to say, and I leave. I try to say something smooth, and I bail.
Stunkbug leaves, opens the door. Beverly's right there.
God damn it!
Hi. Who is that?
A friend. I slam the door.
Heck, great.
Huh. You looked at her for a long time.
Well, you need to use your eyes to see things that you want to, if you want to know where they are.
That's exactly what Lieutenant Bricker said.
You see Lieutenant Bricker rounds the corner. Well, well, well. If it's not bounty hunter.
We just did this like 5 minutes ago.
You're a cutthroat stunk bug, and I don't like it.
Literally the same speech.
A privateer, a pirate. Why don't you take your gold and go? And she throws you 10 gold.
Okay, thank you. Kind of discriminatory. You're just throwing it at me?
Well, it's in a little pouch.
Okay. I pick it up from the ground. I say thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I wasn't expecting you to say thank you, but...
Well, I believe in being professional, Bricker.
No one loves professionalism more than Lieutenant Candace Bricker.
Candace, you know, we don't...
Do not call me Candace, damn it.
I just think we don't need to have a contentious relationship, Candace.
You just take the book and you throw it out the window. Well, why don't you follow the book out the window and skedaddle?
What exactly is the book? I've never seen the book. You talk about the book like
it's
a physical book.
The book's out there. Go get it.
This is a metaphor that you keep using to refer to some body of laws.
I'm gonna go.
I start tugging on on Mr. Bug, being like, "We gotta go catch up with him." I do thank Lieutenant Bricker for the honorary police chief badge. That it's a sticker. It's a golden sticker that she gave me, and I have put it on my sash.
Cool. Lieutenant Bricker gets down on one knee and says to you, "You be careful around this guy. He'll do anything for a gold piece."
I'll keep that in mind.
I mean, so we all need to eat, so everyone would.
I have a lot of gold pieces, so I'll be careful.
Don't mention that outside of the bubble, kid. All right, bubble boy, why don't you get going?
Okay.
All right.
All right, I guess we head back towards the Blue Mana.
So, Moonshine and Hard One, meanwhile, you guys have been having a drink over at the Blue Mana Inn and Tavern. It's a small, posh little cocktail bar. There are little blue spheres inside magic lanterns that turn the whole room a light shade of blue. You see all these kind of well-to-do gnomes and elves sitting about drinking fancy cocktails and this air elemental whipping them up seemingly out of thin air.
You guys been sitting at the bar for a little
two.
Bit? What always drinking two drinks.
That's my thing.
What did you order, by the way? Like, did you order anything special? Did you ask for...
I said, what's your biggest air... What is it called?
The air elemental asked you what your mood was. You just hear a whisper on the wind. Whatever you're feeling.
Fierce.
Very avant-garde.
I'm feeling fierce, and I'm feeling it twice.
He pours you two shots of regular whiskey. But it looks super magical when he does it. But you notice it's like name brand. He tries to hide the label from you, but it's clearly like Maker's Mark.
Yeah, our guardian used to drink that at the Dwarfinage, actually.
You don't see it, but you feel the wind turn to you, Moonshine.
What are you feeling?
Honestly, I'm feeling open to a new experience. Fertile as always.
New experience. Are you sure about that?
Did you say you feel fertile?
Yeah, I'm She's dangerously fertile.
Probably shouldn't drink, but...
I don't know. When you whisper it, I feel less open to a new experience. But, yeah, I'm feeling open.
All right.
You see, he pours from all of these different bottles. They're just like regular stuff, like schnapps and shit. But then there's
like a Long Island iced tea. So far. That's what I was thinking.
he makes you a Long Island iced tea, but then you see this little cauldron come up, and he pours some mysterious frothy green liquid in it, and he hands it to you. There it is. A new experience.
This feels like it could be.
I think I just got roofied.
Yeah.
Should definitely do a
swap drinks.
So meanwhile, Beverly and Stunkbug show up in the tavern. You see Moonshine.
I greet everybody. Francois, good to see you. How have you been?
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
This orc, you just upgraded your life so much, it feels like. You went from outside of town to inside high society.
I used to live in literal shit.
And you're not looking back.
And now I live high on the hog, you know.
It's rags to riches, man.
I've got a view.
The bubble dream.
Yeah.
So, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Did you have to turn your back on where you came from to improve your station? Did you betray someone to get here, or is this just a hard work?
It was a matter of hard work. My brother was murdered by arcane dealers.
Okay. And, we're getting into it, huh?
Yes.
Thank you. Honestly, I appreciate the fact that you feel comfortable enough with us to talk about what you've been through, and I'm so sorry.
I'm going to finish my first drink.
I do. Yeah. I am having second thoughts now that you put it that way. Why am I being so forthcoming?
I want to order a drink for Mr. Bug.
Yes, how are you feeling? A dry martini, please?
Of course, Mr. Bug.
Mr. Bug.
Thank you, Reggie.
Reggie whips up a dry martini and pours it for you. Stunkbug, you look over at Moonshine's drink. You recognize that as being this crazy fucking psychedelic trip drink.
Oh, wow.
I haven't taken a sip yet because I'm worried I got roofied. Will you smell it and tell me if something's wrong?
Is this something people drink regularly?
People drink it sometimes. It does mechanically is you roll a d6 twice. One of your stats turns to 1, and one of your stats goes up to 30.
Drink it! Drink it!
I say, oh, Reggie is very good at these.
Okay.
You should give it a try.
I throw it back.
He throw it back. Roll me a d6.
3.
3. Okay, roll it again.
4.
Moonshine, you take a sip, your constitution shoots up to 30. You are suddenly like super buff and hardy.
Oh my God.
And you feel healthier and happier than you've ever felt.
My word, your skin is glowing.
But your intelligence is a one. You are a complete fucking moron.
Welcome to the family.
You can't even speak.
We're siblings?
You can't even speak. You don't know what that means.
You turn to Papa.
Papa is smarter than you right now. Papa, you see, Papa looks at you super concerned. You see, they just start yapping at each other.
It's Hardwood crazy. Is just super impressed by her calves.
Yeah.
It's fun that
they're almost as big as mine now.
She's crazy buff.
It's fun that that's permanent.
Wow. Healthy and dumb. Good combination. I drank this once. I had the best sex of my life on this. Let me tell you. Woke up with a hangover to next week. Oh, it was great.
Yeah. But Reggie loved it.
Reggie loved it.
That's
me
right.
And Reggie. Go out in the desert, knock a couple of these back. Have a great weekend.
Can I whisper to Reggie?
Yes.
You know what I want, big guy.
I can't read your mind.
Oh, okay. Sprite, then.
Sprite. Of course. Is 7-Up okay?
7-Up's fine.
We have Cherry 7-Up.
Ooh. Yeah. Cherry 7-Up, please.
Great. I make it myself. I put cherries in 7-Up. Okay.
He's muddling cherries.
He pours 7-Up, and you see him really laboriously squeeze a cherry into it.
You make everything seem harder than it is.
Does it have a tiny little sword in it?
I'm so sorry. We have a little umbrella if you'd like.
I mean, if anything, at this place, the mocktails are better than the cocktails.
That's what I'm sure. Yeah.
Moonshine has wandered behind the bar and is eating the garnishes.
Our shared plates are just coming out now.
Oh, she's Moonshine, have this time.
We have fritters. Do you not want all yours?
Tapas.
I have a mouthful of cocktail straws.
I hold up a plate of sliders and say, ooh, 3 hamburgers.
Moonshine and I agreed that I would get 2 and she would have 1, but I guess you can have hers.
Moonshine just starts eating the plate.
So, Mr. Bug, you said that there was an arcane dealer or some sort of a professor?
Yes. My brother was murdered. By arcane dealers.
I'm sorry to hear that.
By an arcane dealer named Scullis.
So you saw your brother killed by this arcane dealer. You remember seeing him snort this big line of this blue powder and unleash this crazy lightning spell that shocked your brother and he was dead instantly. You were able to escape. You were able to...
And I was just an orc living in literal shit
you
when
were just
this happened.
An orc living in shit. You made your way into the bubble by volunteering for a program with Professor Duddle.
Yeah.
And he was making a new series of Eldritch Knights that used wizardry instead of sorcery. So instead of like injecting people with wild magic, what he did is he actually went into your fucking brain and changed your memories so that you studied magic. So you have all of these weird memories of you just in a weird white void reading books.
Yep.
Love it.
And now I am an extremely smart orc. So I may even be the smartest orc in the world. I'm not sure.
Congrats.
I'm a very... Wow. Not before. When I lived outside, very stupid. 3-word sentences, max. Now I enjoy the opera.
Oh.
I read quite a lot. You know, the finer things.
What do you read?
I eat tapas every day.
Exquisite taste.
I haven't eaten a large plate meal in over a year, and I'm happier for it.
Have you read Dragon Anatomy?
Yes.
It's great. I'm working my way through it right now. Very graphic, but a lot of stuff I didn't know about.
Children's literature, but I enjoyed it.
Moonshine is still behind the bar, and she has the sink going, and she's trying to put the water back into the faucet. She's so
Moonshine, you
out.
Suddenly kick out of it. It's like salvia. It's like real quick.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you're just washing your hands behind the bar.
I guess I'm a bar back now.
The air elemental goes...
Please go around the front. This is for staff only.
Oh, so I don't work here.
You don't work here.
Oh, okay.
So she's back to normal now?
She's back to normal.
Oh, okay.
I want her back.
She heard nothing.
Oh, do you mind repeating
that? Fun time,
that?
Right? Wasn't it?
Well,
cool,
you
washed your hands.
Okay. I don't tell her my backstory.
Beverly has to whisper it to her.
I do.
Who ate my slider?
I raised my hand to get a new plate of sliders.
How are you feeling?
It's just two whiskeys, Reg.
Well, I was going to make you some special sliders, but fine, you'll just get regular hamburgers.
That's good. I have a feeling they were going to be regular hamburgers anyway.
Hey, I have chicken. They could have been chicken sliders.
I'm eating a radicchio side salad.
I'm nibbling on some karaage fried chicken.
I peek behind the screen. Adam and I were talking about his character beforehand, and he said he wanted him to be Orc Frasier.
Yes, that is the pitch.
Wait, are you wearing like a turtleneck and a blazer?
Yes.
Holy
well,
shit.
I was imagining like I'm wearing a lot of purple velvet.
Oh wow!
And it's a
oh
tailored.
My gosh.
I have a tailored armor on.
Oh
yeah, it's
you
like
can almost
it's like
picture it,
a lot
like
of people get their armor off the rack, but you gotta honestly get it tailored or it'll never fit just right.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I love that velvet.
I respect Mr. Bugs so much.
I do too.
It'd be cool if we could visit the tailor at some point.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind getting some really nice fucking rats.
You have to meet Renee. He's the best.
I think after we go to your professor, I would love to stop by
I would
Renee.
Love to stop by
right,
Renee.
Right, we got this evil sword that we should show the professor.
Do you guys
spoken
want
like
check?
A true stud.
Yeah, can we get the sliders to go?
Can I just say, it's that pro of nothing, but it came to me now that Stunk Bug has a ponytail.
Yeah.
And I just say that he has like a waist length, beautifully combed
holy shit.
Ponytail.
Oh my god!
Like,
man,
it's really beautiful. It's like luxurious.
The hospitality in me is desperate to just give you a scalp massage, turn it into a braid.
Yeah.
Oh, can you? Oh, you can braid hair?
Yeah, I point to my amazing braid.
Oh my!
Yeah, I spent all night on that.
She's
teaching
me.
You're telling me you make delicious wine?
Yeah.
And you braid hair?
I wouldn't call it wine.
You
but
are the perfect woman. Did you know you're the perfect woman?
You know, this is amazing because I travel with these two and they just, you know, they complain about how I smell or I don't shower.
I know that
or
is.
Just made recommendations.
We just say sometimes that it would be fine if you did.
I offered you soap.
I try to give you positive encouragement when you do things. Like wash your hands.
Hey, guys, the bar's pretty crowded.
Yeah, we're out of here.
All right, okay.
All right, let's go. Let's go introduce you to the professor.
Okay.
Cool. So you guys go to Professor Duddle's laboratory. You make your way over to Duddle's lab. You see it's this big metal kind of steampunk-looking dome building. It's almost shaped like an igloo with the entrance jutting out at the end of a little hallway coming off the main dome. The windows are bright with lights shooting out from the inside, occasionally changing color and pulsating with arcane energy. You see that the front door is a thick, thick metal.
I knock on the door.
You knock and you hear a robotic voice from the inside go, "Who is it?"
Oh, no.
I say, "Hello, it's Stunk Bug."
Oh, Stunk Bug, my best friend. It's me, Juan.
How are you, Juan? Just let us in.
You know a robot?
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool!
Juan opens the door. You see Juan, he's this clockwork automaton who looks like a gnome. He has a glowing purple core at the center of all his gears and springs and complex machinery. And he looks at you, Stunk Bug, and he goes, "Oh, you brought friends."
So wait, he's a gnome, so he's like a little smaller than me?
I am not really a gnome. And you see he looks so hurt by this.
Hey,
my
Juan?
Name?
Juan?
Yes.
You're whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
And then I play a song on the fiddle to inspire him. I take out New Betsy, and I play a really, really slow inspirational song about how you can be whatever you want.
He looks at you, Stunk Bug. Is this music good?
Now that's the saddest thing he said.
Oh my god!
So far.
I mean, I do love the folk music of the common classes.
Why don't you roll a performance check, Moonshine?
Okay.
Okay.
I got a 7.
Okay. It sounds real bad stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, I still say that in order to be I'm like, "Oh, very good. It's fine, you know."
This is great. I'm so obsessed with this automaton because I desperately want one for my birthday and my parents won't get me one. They say
not because they can't afford it, but because they don't respect you.
Yes, precisely. They say I'm not responsible enough.
It is the most beautiful song I've ever heard.
Oh, Melora. Someone taught you manners.
Hi, my name is Juan. Or technically,
number one, but I call myself Juan.
That's cute.
Good to meet you. Very clever. Do you work for a wizard?
I work for Professor Duddle. He is my best friend.
Can you take us to Professor Duddle?
What is your name?
Hard One Surefoot. You've probably heard of me. I am the Bastard of the Mountain. Great Axe of Iron Deep.
You see, he hesitates for a moment, trying to, like, pick up on your facial cues. Yes, I have heard of you.
Oh, man, that feels like when you told her the song was good.
Oh, so it was, like, entirely true.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I will take you to the professor, my new best friends.
Everyone you meet is your best friend.
That is true. Cool. I guess I just have a sunny outlook.
Juan, you're kind of stressing me out a little bit.
Wait.
He just looks at you for a long time. Am I making you sad?
No. In fact, your existence makes me so happy. the sun shines a little brighter just knowing that you're gracing this green earth.
He looks down, and then he looks up at you with cold robot eyes and says, no one has ever been this nice to me.
Oh, Melora, get me out of this guy's way.
So Juan,
I'm a little hurt because I gave him a present on his birthday.
Aw.
It is my most cherished gift.
All right.
What was
Juan, you lost it the day you got it. We all see through your bullshit. You are
never,
a lying robot.
I would never lose a gift from a friend.
It was a gift card.
What was it?
What was it, Stunk Bug?
You know, no.
It was.
No, what wait, wait,
hold
on.
We're
going to
say
time.
You guys said it at the same time. One, two, three.
A locket.
Well, I was going to say it was a CD of opera of my favorite artist.
That he wore on a necklace through the hole.
Yes, I thought it was a necklace.
A magical musical locket that plays opera music.
I put it in a jewelry box.
All right, checks out. Can we please meet the professor?
I want to continue this conversation.
All right. So you see Juan leads you down a long, sterile hallway, then into the lab itself. You see dozens of these clockwork creatures hard at work. There are a few who look like gnomes putting together a suit of this bubble knight armor on a stand. You see a drone-like one flying around, surveying the lab. You see that there are a couple spider ones carrying chemicals and beakers, like moving tables.
Should we put on, like, face masks or gloves or...
Don't worry. This is this is all very normal. I'm sorry. Have you not been inside an arcane laboratory before?
We've never even been to the Bubble City before.
Yeah, honestly, no, I haven't.
I've been on one.
I guess I'm really feeling my privilege then.
Honestly, that was my first slider earlier.
So you guys see a door.
Everyone
you guys
loves
see
sliders
a...
now.
At the end of the hall, you see a doorway, and you see red energy, like, exploding out, and Juan says, the professor is in there.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you, Juan.
I put a coin in his mouth.
Why? Why did you do... Are you bullying me?
I thought you might like it and also do a dance.
Are you...
That's
I guess
young
I am
Paladin.
Just a robot
never...
to you, after
Juan,
all.
I just
and
no,
Juan
all the...
Juan sulks off.
Okay.
What's your alignment, young man?
I misread the situation.
Beverly, Juan is a friend.
I apologize to Juan. I'm
very sorry.
He's gone.
Juan's gone.
He's gonna cry. He's gonna be crying for a week. All right. Wow. He's a very sensitive soul. You know, we see the same therapist. And she's extremely expensive, and that's going to be at least 3 sessions.
Well, he could have used
to
the
wipe
point
that
I
her
gave
away.
You see, finally, the arcane energy from out under the door stops, and you see the professor, this little gnome in a little white lab coat. He's bald on top with white hair
so
on the sides.
Cute. He's bald.
He's bald.
White hair on the sides.
Oh, there are superstitions about bald people at the Crick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we love them. We love bald people.
No ponytail though.
Moonshine is just sitting on her hands, trying not to touch his head.
So you see, he's got this weird spider clockwork on his head, and he goes, "Oh yes, Stunkbug. Great to see you.
Hello,
I was
professor.
Just finishing an experiment."
Oh, well, what are you working on this week, Professor?
Well, I'm trying to use that wizardry procedure that we did on you.
Yeah. Thank you again.
Of course.
Made me very intelligent, whereas before, I was as dumb as a bag of
bricks.
That
is absolutely true. You were very stupid.
I was so stupid.
A stupid boy. A stupid boy indeed. Well, anyway, the spider shoots arcane energy into my eyeballs, right? It goes into my brain. I try to imagine something, and then the spider lays an egg, and I try to see if I eat that egg, if it gives me a memory. Let's see. And you see the spider.
Oh, dear.
The spider crawls forward, lays this red egg, and he goes, ah, yes, now to eat the egg.
And he does this, as he does this, I say, the professor is very good.
I want to do a roll.
Incredible mind.
Can we do like a roll to just insight this egg, make sure that this egg is safe to consume?
Sure. You can do an insight check on the egg.
Okay. Ooh. That's a 3. Looks like a good egg.
Cool. That is a red egg that a robot spider laid.
Wow, Bev.
So you see, the professor gets down on his hands and knees, grabs the egg off the ground. He holds it up to his mouth and he says, I have never eaten a strawberry, so I imagined in my head eating a strawberry, and now I'm going to eat this and see if I can remember eating a strawberry. And he bites into it, and he goes, I don't know if that worked because I don't know what a strawberry tastes like.
I'll try it.
Flaw.
I already consumed it, my friend.
Egg. All right, kiss me.
What?
No.
Kiss him.
No!
Of course!
Stunkbug, who are your friends?
These are, there's some new acquaintances I met outside of the city, and they have a few items of mysterious and or magical origin that they need identified, and I thought you might be interested.
Ah, yes. Whip it out. Whip it out.
Sorry.
Whip it out. You.
I was really looking forward to it. Yeah, please.
The magical item.
I was very interested in your opinion until you ate the egg that you were hoping tasted like a strawberry,
right,
having
yes.
never had a strawberry before. But hey, fuck it. Here, it's an evil sword.
you hold it up. That is a cursed weapon.
Well, we knew that.
Can you elaborate?
Do you guys want to see something really cool?
Are you going to eat another egg?
I am not going to eat another egg.
I do want to see it.
Something cooler than eggs?
What's cooler? Okay, yeah.
I can't promise that it'll be cooler than eggs.
Does it involve the sword? Because if you're going to do something with a sword, I'd like you to run it by...
It does involve the sword. Would you like me to remove the curse from this sword?
Oh. Well, I'm curious, if you remove the curse, will it then just be a normal sword? Or
Here
will it
is
retain?
The great thing about the great Professor Duddle, and that is... I am able to break magic down to the cellular level. I can destroy the curse while maintaining the magical properties of the sword.
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Have you?
Okay.
I turn to Stunkbug. Has he done this before?
I've seen him do shit like this.
Yeah, he does incredible things every day. And you can vouch that he's not just a straight-up evil guy.
No, he's made me a very smart orc with magic powers. Whereas before, again, I lived in literal shit,
right?
Huh.
Yeah. I ate shit because I was so dumb. I ate shit because I thought it was food.
Or you just had a curious palate. I mean, I'm not going to look down on someone.
I do have a curious palate now, and maybe that's where it comes from.
Dung is the tapas of the body.
Would you like me to look at your sword?
Just for the record, it's not. yes. Yeah, I'll hand him the sword.
Yeah. Cool.
You see, he puts on these comically huge gloves and grabs the sword. Ah, yes. Cursed sword. Follow me. And he walks into the next room.
Is the spider still on his head?
Yes, okay. Sure. The spider crawls back onto his head.
Yeah. Can I make an arcana check on, like, the energy and stuff that was coming out of the room to see if I know anything about it?
Sure.
Okay, I rolled a 9.
And then whatever is
whatever
next
your
arcana.
Arcana skill
It'll
is.
It'll probably be intelligence plus.
I see. Plus 4. So, 13.
13. Cool.
Pretty good.
You know that the procedure that he did to you involved implanting wizardry into your brain, implanting these memories. What he was trying to do is make like a drug for that so that he wouldn't have to do
I was just trying to check if there was anything dangerous, there was energy coming out, if there was like anything dangerous.
No, normal.
All right, then
shit.
I walk in.
You guys all go into the next room. You see there aren't as many clockworks in here. This appears to be Duddle's personal workspace. It's smaller. There's a chair that looks almost like a dentist's chair with tools hovering over it. You can assume that's where he was experimenting on himself. On the other side of the room is a glass partition. And you see Professor Duddle walks up and places the cursed sword into a little pipe, into a little chute, and it goes whoosh, and gets sucked up through the pipe.
goes and you stole my sword.
That's my sword.
Marble, you got robbed.
Let the professor work.
Suddenly you see the sword pop up on the other side of the glass partition. You see Duddle walk over to a little machine and he starts pressing buttons. You watch, it looks like in slow motion that the sword goes from having these black and white flames, that the flames suddenly slow down and stop looking like flames but look like little black and white dots. You suddenly see lasers come in and start shooting the white ones until there's only black ones left. The whole image speeds back up and there's only black flames.
Oh.
And then he turns to you guys and he says, who of you will be using this sword? Would you, I could also transfer the magical properties to another weapon if you'd like.
Probably me, right?
I thought it'd be
best. I'm kidding.
Well, wait. Who uses a two-handed weapon?
I do.
Also,
you,
I do.
You are carrying a long sword and a shield, my friend.
Oh, that's true. Never mind.
Oh, this is my sword.
I don't care whose sword it is.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Do you want the sword, or would you I killed
the king that it belonged to.
Oh, okay. That is true.
Do you wield a two-handed sword?
Yeah. I wield a two-handed great axe now.
Wait, so we're cursing an axe?
Oh, no. The curse is gone. I shot the curse. We all saw that.
Yeah, oh,
that's
I
what
see,
happened.
I see.
It took us a while to get
these
there.
These guys have never seen this before.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this... I really hate to part Outlanders. With the axe even for a moment, but I want to give you the axe and turn that shit magic.
Don't worry. It's in good hands. You see him shove it so hard. It like doesn't quite fit. It was clearly made for a sword.
Easy.
He shoves
easy.
It in
that
there.
That was my dad's, and I don't know who he is. So.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's going to go in there. It's normally made for swords, but...
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
not,
wow.
Not quite an elegant weapon, is it? He shoves
you
it in
are
there.
Just,
it's an elegant weapon. You're
you
an inelegant
just
man.
Scuffing up that handle, huh?
You see,
dang,
it appears...
That thing looks...
You see it appears in the glass case, hovering next to the sword.
You see Duddle presses some buttons in the machine, and whoosh, you see the black dots transfer from the sword over to the axe. The dots speed up and become flames again, and you see the axe crackle with black flame. Then suddenly there's a ding like a microwave.
Oh, it's finished! And it comes back out the tube, and he hands it to you. And your axe is now... a plus one axe, so you get
ooh.
Plus one to attack rolls and to damage.
Wow.
And you also get to roll an extra d12 if you crit.
That's dope.
Ooh.
Whoa. That is,
and
I
you
gotta,
crit on 19 and 20.
Yeah. I got to come up with a name for this axe. Every
oh,
great
true.
Axe has a great name.
Yeah, it really
Pawpaw
does.
3.
Pawpaw's Claw.
Mishka's Revenge.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, that is good.
You see, Professor Duddle looks at the computer and he goes like, ah, yes, this curse. If you were to wield this, you would be driven mad and attack everyone near you.
Thank God we didn't use it on the roof.
Sounds bad.
Yes, oh, you would have kept attacking people until you passed out. Isn't that something?
Oh my God, you guys would have had to fucking swing at me.
But the that's... curse has been removed.
Curse has been removed.
Yeah. Totally, 100%.
Professor,
100%,
Professor,
yes.
I have a bit of an interest in this cloak. I know it's got a plus one to AC. I'm just wondering if you know anything of the origin of it.
I deal more with the scientific properties of things, not so much the history of them.
Okay.
Did you buy it at a store, perhaps?
No.
Where did you find the cloak?
A dead body.
I have to... Sorry, it is getting a little bit late. I do have a prior engagement at the Underground Fighting Ring where I need to go take revenge on my nemesis, Scullus. So, very nice meeting all of you.
Wait,
insane thing
that
just let out there.
Not a casual thing to say, and yet it came out so casually.
Oh, well, you know, I just say, hey, why keep secrets, you know?
Tell you, man, you brought us to this... crazy professor who just gave me a magic axe. Can we come to the fighting ring with you?
Well, let's see. Can you, are you guys good at murdering your enemies?
That's the only thing we know how to do.
Oh, really?
I would say a couple days ago, I would have told you my best skill was cooking, and now it is murdering my enemies.
Let me ask
cooking
you this.
Close second.
Are you good at working stealthily without attracting a lot of attention?
Absolutely not.
I would
not.
Gladly pass without trace on all of us.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we're a little better at it now.
Little China has gotten better at it.
I'm dynamite at it.
Because I was told specifically not to cause a ruckus is going to be a stealth commando operation.
Stealth operation. That is my shit. I mean, each of my legs is the size of this kid right here, but I can handle
it. I haven't known you guys very long, but I mean, so far you've been on the up and up.
I'll tell you what. I have these boots that are the boots of Elvenkind. They make me super stealthy. In addition to that, I can cast a spell on all of us to make us super stealthy. In addition to that, I love killing folk. That deserve it, of course. Who precisely? You're going after the guy who killed your brother?
Yeah, Skullis, the guy who, he murdered, he made my brother explode with lightning after doing drugs.
Is Skullis the guy that is supplying all the drugs to the people living outside the bubble?
We believe he is, yes.
Let's clean up this here city.
We can lend you a hand.
Yes.
I think all the people outside the bubble need to be tasting the sliders of this town.
That's true. Justice is served.
Oh, we're not going to let the rabble in necessarily.
Justice is served, and it's coming in 3 small hamburgers.
if you guys are going to be going off and doing crazy things like fighting Skullis, who, by the way, good luck. This city needs to be cleaned up.
Thank you.
You're just the man to do it, Stunkbug.
Thank you.
You know what? I have an untested potion. It should give you the benefits of a long rest without having to take a long rest.
Whoa. Wait, how many have you? Only have one?
No. I have one for each of you.
Yes.
I have many. So actually, I said it was untested. I've actually tested it on myself. I will say you will go crazy if you do it twice before you take an actual long rest. So just have one. One for each of you.
Fair enough.
Or you will go crazy.
Do you have any extra memory eggs?
Yeah. Memory eggs. Well, they don't work. If you would like to see if this spider would like to poop up a memory of me eating a strawberry, you can tell me if it tastes like strawberries.
I'll take one for the road.
Yeah. Okay.
We all
the
want
spider poops
take,
out.
What are they called? The takeaways? Or what are they called? The
one doggy bag?
No.
Walk me down.
I'll take a walk me down egg.
Yeah, I'll take walk me downs.
The spider poops out 4 red eggs.
Wait, before we go, I do want to...
I'm just going to take it and put it in my pouch.
Great. I hold up my amulet to Professor Duddle, and I want to know if he has any thoughts on the crack that formed in it.
Ah, religious nonsense. Some sort of bad omen? I don't know. What is it you clerics call it?
I thought it was similar to the cursed sword, perhaps.
Mm, seems dumb.
Okay,
seems like not magic.
All right. You know what? You can have this egg.
He takes back the strawberry egg. That's fine. I'm going to eat it, and I'm also going to eat a strawberry to see if it tastes like strawberries.
Good luck with that.
Why have you never had a strawberry? I mean, they're on every menu.
They just never came around.
How old are you?
I'm 320 years old.
And you never had a strawberry? You're eating spider shit and you never had a strawberry?
It's not spider shit. It's a clockwork automaton.
Have a strawberry. I mean, Professor Duddle, I can get you strawberries. My grocer gets them very fresh.
All right, bring me back.
I'm happy to send you a
fruit
basket.
Bring me back some strawberries.
All right, let's head to the fight right now.
I'm just telling you right now, if you open up your door tomorrow and if Juan opens it up and finds a fruit basket on your doorstep, you'll know it's for me, okay?
Yes. Sounds great. You see, he's already working on something else. He's just reading a book, ignoring you. All right, guys, we're going to call it there. That's the end of our episode.
All right.
Thank you to our guest, Adam Conover. Guys, you can catch Adam on Adam Ruins Everything Presents Reanimated History. That's Tuesdays at 10:30 on True TV, and you can watch him game on Twitch.tv/AdamConover.
Which, why wouldn't you? That sounds so fun.
Yeah, you're all nerds. You're listening to a D&D podcast. You
and check
like
out my
games?
TV show, Billions, on Showtime. I want to be on TV too, man.
Just watch me play Hearthstone. I don't stream it, but like, come to my house and do it.
Yeah, Caldwell lives at...
Through my window.
I just give out his address.
Everyone plugs their projects, and Caldwell just gives out his address.
Caldwell gives out his address every
what
week,
up? I'm gonna be
hoping that people will show up
Persona
to
Persona 5. I will have salsa.
Cool, guys. We'll pick up back in Esri next week. Adam will be back, and we'll continue this little story. Follow us on Twitter. At CHMurph is me. At Caldy is Caldwell. At Eaxford is Emily. At Jake Hurwitz is Jake.
At Adam Conover is Adam.
Adam Conover is Adam. You can check out our subreddit, rnotanotherdnd podcast. That's DND podcast.
Yeah. If you want to tweet about the show, do it using hashtag NADPod.
Before we go.
Yeah.
We got to say thank you to this.
Yes, we got to say thank you to some people.
Oh, yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to James T for sending in this Opa Aladdin style Funko Pop, which is sitting on the table in front of me. And it helps. It honestly helps focus me, helps center me during sessions.
And we also got to give such a legit shout out to Scott. That's as much as he gave us, who sent us a...
He gave us so much more.
Yes.
He gave us so much more. Who needs a name when you get a handmade clay figurine of Pawpaw.
So legit. Check it out at
so cute.
Yeah, Emily, is that on your
We put it on NADPOD Art.
Cool. Guys, check that out on Instagram. Yeah. And tweet about the show at hashtag NADPOD, NADDPOD, baby.
Woo!
We are
the youth of the nation.
We are.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.